tuned in to the Community Cats podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with Cameron Gregg. Cameron is the Community Cat Coordinator at the Humane Society of Huron Valley in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He started in TNR after applying to be a vet tech a few years ago. When interviewing, it was brought to his attention that the Community Cat Coordinator position was open, and it seemed to be a more interesting, engaging, and unique fit. With over 2 years in the position, he has helped to strategize ways to grow the program through weekend spay-neuter events and has developed systems to prevent TNR spay-neuter appointments from going unused through staffing challenges. Cameron, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is your second time on the show. I interviewed you. Oh, I feel like after you'd only been in the job for like a month or two, it was very, very early on in the process of you being the Community Cat Coordinator. So share with me, how has it been over the last couple of years? How have you felt in your new position?
Yeah, so it's been fun. It's been a learning experience for sure. It's been challenging dealing with unsocialized cats. Animals in general are full of variables, and then unsocial cats can be even more challenging. So it's been fun. It had its challenges, but so far, so good.
So far, so good. How have things been going with the Community Cat Program at the Humane Society of Huron Valley? Like, for those folks that don't know about the program, tell me a bit about how the program is run, how it operates, how many cats do you spay neuter? Do you actually go out and trap the cats? You know, what are the details of your program?
Yeah, so this is a great time to go over that, actually, because we've had some changes throughout this past year with some staffing challenges and different things thrown our way. Traditionally, we have had the program for around 20 years. Historically, do somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 spays and neuters. And generally, it's done through walk-ins where certain days of the week, people are allowed to bring cats between certain hours. We'll TNR the cats that day, and then we're ready to be returned the following day. And we also go out and trap for those who don't have the means to trap themselves. Either they're elderly or they have transportation at the barrier. And so we'll assist those in need. This past year, we've had some staffing challenges, primarily in the veterinary space, which with spaying and neutering can be very challenging. So one of the things that we did was right away, we knew we had to control the volume, because if people were showing up with 20, 25 cats and we could only handle the volume of 5 or 10, with being short a surgeon and being a part of a large shelter, there are so many different aspects that we rely on our surgeons for. And so something had to give. And unfortunately, it was TNR, given all of the other commitments that we have. And so to control the volume, we implemented an online sign up. In order to purchase a spot online for TNR, you have to purchase it the morning that those spots are available at 8 a.m. And the drop-off time is 9 a.m. And so that way it prevents people from purchasing a spot days ahead of time and then not trapping the cat. And so we found that was a good way to prevent that from happening. But what was happening was those 10 spots would fill up and there would be an 11th or a 12th cat already on a trap, and that person had nowhere to go. And we planned for that a little bit ahead of time with some wiggle room, but ultimately, it's tough to make everyone happy when you're trying to control volume of cats that may or may not go into a trap and show up for their appointment, because you don't want to offer 10 spots, assuming that only 5 will get used and then only have 1 get used. So it's tough to figure out that balance. And that was something that we did to try and control that balance. And also, through the years before my time, it had been discussed of doing weekend surgery. There's such a need for just expanding on surgery services. And it had been mentioned here and there, and a fun way to do that's through TNR in a shelter setting. When we also provide outpatient services, so when you've got owners and shelter staff, TNR is sort of a different aspect to do surgery. And so it was sort of a fun way to incorporate weekend surgery and also ramp up the TNR volume a little bit with our numbers being short and our veterinarian being flexible that participating in TNR, because with something that a lot of people don't necessarily know about staffing challenges in the shelter space is not all veterinarians are trained in TNR. Even though it might seem like a spay and neuter or a wound repair, it's not something that anyone, even with years and years of experience, necessarily is comfortable doing. And so we really had to rely on the surgeons that we had that do TNR and are very comfortable with TNR and their flexibility as much as possible. And so the Saturday events allowed us to really capitalize on that and get some extra cats done. And we did it through a large type of event where there were 60 spots available for each of these events. The past year, we did them every 2 months throughout the warm season. So kind of one early spring, one spring, summer, one late summer, one fall. And with 60 spots, we did roughly 50 cats. That was about the average 50 cats out of 60. So that's kind of, I know that was a very long answer, but that's kind of where we're at with the TNR program and kind of where.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been involved with running Sunday spay neuter clinics for feral cats since 2000. So when you were booking those weekend cats, were you doing the 8 o'clock booking model there, or were you booking those ahead of time?
So that was done a little bit differently. And that was sort of challenging too, because we wanted to be able to market the event and not overpromise and underdeliver, because there are such high demand for these services that we've seen. So it's been really hard to do that. But what we were able to do was advertise those events, set up an online ticket sales platform with the tickets going on sale 2 weeks before the event. We found that 1 to 2 weeks is kind of a sweet spot where people will prepare for that day. If you do it a month ahead of time, people might purchase the ticket and forget. And it also can depend on the price. If the price is higher, people are more likely to remember, whereas if the price is lower, people might forget about it. And so we let the tickets go on sale 2 weeks ahead of time, and they generally all sell out within 2 or 3 days. When the tickets actually went on sale, we did do additional marketing then. And I think that was a primary reason why they sell out so quickly. And people will follow the event, but then when the tickets actually go on sale is when people start to get more engaged. And so that was done slightly differently through that aspect. And the difference with those events is we're able to work with a sponsor, and so it's only $10 as opposed to our regular TNR, which is typically $40. So doing it 2 weeks ahead of time wasn't as big as a financial commitment for people. So it seemed to work for a large scale spay and neuter event. And we found success in that. We did have one event where 67 cats showed up out of 60, but that was after the beginning of staffing challenges and just kind of a buildup of TNR demand and demand and lower supply. And we were able to navigate our way through that, but it went to kind of show everyone on the team that this TNR in general is something that cats need, and people know that too.
Right. Yes. I know that no-show rates are a really hot topic, and a variety of organizations handle it in different ways. You're talking about people buying tickets. I know other organizations, like, they will reserve a slot, but like, say they reserve 4 and they only trap 3 cats. Then they find a friend. They have like a chat group, and some other trapper gets that other slot, and like, they make up the difference, you know, because really the vet, they don't care as long as it's cat and it's in the quota system, right? So are those tickets like interchangeable? Can it be like brought in by anybody just under, you know, Jane Doe's name?
We allowed that at first because exactly what you said, to utilize those spay neuter spots that are so valuable. But then it started to cause confusion. And that was actually part of what played into there being 67 cats out of 60. someone not using a spot and texting their friends, hey, I'm not using my spot. And then three people show up with a cat for that one spot. So we did have to stop doing that. But we still, as the community cat coordinator, I manage that now. So if I know someone is going to be three cats short, I'll reach out to someone and let them know that we have three spots. And since we started doing that, we haven't seen issues. But yeah, that can be tricky. And we did notice that with the staffing challenges this year, our appointment utilization rate has gone up 15%. And basically, what I wanted to do with the staffing challenges is show the community that we're still committed to TNR and we're just shifting our focus. Because the year before, we did a lot more TNR, but there were more spots, so there wasn't as much pressure to be utilizing the spot. And then this year with the staffing challenges, there was a lot more back and forth between different rescues, different trappers, making sure, okay, there's seven spots, or there are going to be seven cats today. And so through the staffing challenges, we've gotten better at setting up systems of communication through text, shared schedules, just to try and utilize those spots as much as possible.
Mark your calendar. It's happening this Saturday. Join us this Saturday to learn the art of trap, neuter, return, a powerful way to transform the lives of community cats. Brought to you by Community Cats Podcast and Neighborhood Cats. This session is for anyone who wants to turn their passion for cats into action. Whether you're a seasoned caretaker or just starting out, there's something for everyone to learn. Don't wait. Reserve your spot now at communitycatspodcast.com/get TNR certified. Ready for a grant challenge like no other? Mark your calendars for the Inclusive 2024 Open Arms Challenge. For the entire month of April 2024, animal shelters, foster-based organizations, and public charities are encouraged to create a new program or expand an existing one focused on keeping pets and people together. Learn more about how to register and important dates at maddiesfund.org. Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com. What about the owned cats that are coming through the clinic? Is it like everybody's showing up? It's 100%, you know, show up rate, or is there no shows there?
With the staffing challenges, we've tried to focus our priorities on those who need help. We market ourselves as an affordable clinic, but we are the last resort for a lot of people as a humane society. So we take in a lot of spay neuter appointments on vouchers, discounted rates, and occasionally we get no-shows through the outpatients as well. They're less than TNR, but even there, we find that it almost seems like there's no perfect way, but generally what we do there is reach out to rescues with any cancellations, and they typically have some kittens they can bring. You can at least get the spays and neuters pulled, but it's not always the right ones, and then you got to reach back out to that person and try to get them to come in. So the staffing challenges in general have been challenging, but it's sort of a unique way to work together with the team and try and figure out, okay, if we pull from here, can we get some more over here, and figuring out what you can and can't get away with flexibility-wise, be efficient and not completely burn out the team and the veterinarian and everyone involved with all of that.
So you're mentioning the staffing challenges. Some of our listeners might not necessarily be 100% aware of the staffing challenges that you're referring to. So, you know, can you get a little bit more specific on that? And then, like, how is your organization resolving? Are there any tips and tricks on how to recruit more staff?
Yeah, we had some really great suggestions. The beginning of this year, we typically have 5 surgery techs, and we had 4 leave within a month of each other, all for wonderful reasons. Husband gets a great new job and just going back to school and these different things. And it was just the perfect storm to only have one tech that, thank goodness, stuck through everything thick and thin, came out as the supervisor, and we were able to rebuild the techs And then we had a veterinarian retire, and who was one of our primary surgeons for TNR. And then another veterinarian's husband had some great opportunity. And so then we were stuck with one primary TNR veterinarian when we were used to having two and a half, three. And so that became the new struggle, was strictly surgery short staffing. And when we do as an organization, like to 10,000 spays and neuters, I'm not 100% sure, but a lot of those are for volume and shelter volume and all the commitments we have for the adoption cycle and the intake cycle. Something had to give. And I sat through meetings with different higher-ups in the organization, and I agreed that TNR was kind of what should be cut, all things considered, which is extremely difficult when my job is to go out and trap cats and engage in TNR. But given everything that we have responsibility-wise to the animals and to our community, it just makes sense that we had to cut back days and spots. And we're still doing TNR, but right now we're not, because it's the winter in Michigan. So we've taken a break this year. But as we get back to the spring, if things don't improve, hopefully by then they will, but don't want to make promises that didn't have something crazy come up, then we'll kind of do the same thing where we're just cut back most likely. But through the staffing challenges, there's been some different suggestions. One was lunch and learns. Veterinary clinics that have a TNR program, it's wonderful to go out to private practices and just talk to them about TNR. Say, hey, we've got this really cool program. Anyone is ever interested in community cats, if you ever get clients that call and are curious about getting help for their community cat. And sometimes that interests veterinarians and pets and can actually help staff recruiting. Even though the primary purpose of educating on TNR, it can kind of be a cross thing. So that was a really good suggestion. And it seems like the team, I'm not in charge of hiring veterinarians, but touch base with the people who do quite regularly. And it seems that flexibility has really came, that we might have someone coming in that can only work 2 days a week and someone else that's interested in working 3 days a week. And we're flexible. We can take what we can get and figure out how we can play to those strengths and weaknesses. So it's really been a lot of flexibility and trusting the people above me and knowing that we all have the same mission.
Yep. You know, you're talking about the online ticketing. Is there a specific software that you use for that?
Yeah. So we use a system called TicketTailor. And TicketTailor, the website, it's tickettailor.com. And you can set up tickets through there and set up amounts. So we, for the large scale events, 5 cats were allowed per person. You can cap the number of tickets per person. And you can also set the time, total amount of tickets. So that's kind of a cool system. And our clinic is switching to online scheduling. We're working with a new online scheduler. And so once we have that finalized in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to look into seeing if we can do the same thing with that. Because I think for copy and paste purposes, for teaching other programs how to do something like this, it would be cool to do it with a veterinary clinic software. But it can be done with TicketTailor, and TicketTailor is pretty user-friendly. But yeah, that's kind of the next step, is figuring how to do it with veterinary software, creating a simple-to-follow guide, and sharing that with other programs.
Yeah. No, I think that the more that we can do online, the better off we're going to be, for sure. One question I wanted to ask you, because I get this question surprisingly often. As a trapper, what is the recommended recovery time that you think a cat should be before they're returned back to their colony?
I'd say 24 hours. We do about 18 hours. We have a drop off between 9 and 11 a.m. generally, and surgeries get done kind of later afternoon between 1 and 5. And caretakers pick up the following morning. So it ends up being a little less than 24 hours, but I find that good for males and females. Sure. Females, I could say a day, maybe a little bit longer, whereas males, maybe only 6 hours. So I feel like 18 to 24 hours is sort of a good standard to follow, in my opinion.
What is your favorite bait to use?
Ooh, I always start with something low value and escalate just in case a cat ever gets injured or sick, you've got something better and your tool bag is still used. So generally just wet cat feed. So that way I don't save the tuna or the sardines if I need to escalate.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Cameron, if folks are interested in finding out more about your organization, how would they do that?
Yeah, hshb.org, Humane Society of Huron Valley in Ann Arbor, Michigan, or for the TNR program is hshb.org/TNR.
Excellent. And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Support the cats and the organizations that support cats.
Yeah. And I think the challenges that you're faced with in Michigan, unfortunately, are faced across the country where the surgery capacity is really very challenging right now. I do think that organizations that are out there that are doing wellness clinics might want to rethink about how their assets are being utilized, how their staff is being utilized. I think that we were at a crisis mode with regards to getting enough spay neuter appointments out there. And we are losing the population battle against cats and overpopulating. And so I think we are in emergency mode where we really do need to focus on stemming the tide. This is the opinion of Stacey LeBaron, the community cat podcaster, not the opinion of other organizations. But I do know that as we grew our spay neuter capacities, then there came to be a point where we were then adding our wellness programs in on our spay neuter clinics. And I feel like we might need to retrench back and become more those pure spay neuter clinics and really focus on being as volume oriented as we possibly can. But again, just my own opinion, but it is a strategy for sure. But anyway, Cameron, I want to thank you so much for joining the podcast today and for being a guest on the show. And I hope we'll have you on again in the future. For folks listening, please subscribe to the show and share with others. The more we have helping, the more we can turn our passion for cats into action. And we will see you next time.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.